This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Men without work. I welcome Nicholas Eberstadt of the American Enterprise Institute to help me understand his book published some years before and now republished with a post-pandemic note from the author about what we learn from these years of statistics about men without work. I will transfer my thinking immediately to a metaphor that Nick uses in the course of his presentation, a ghost army. Nick, congratulations again for updating your observations of the middle of this second decade of the 21st century. We're now plunged into the third decade. And after the pandemic, there are lessons here that are fresh. We're going to begin, however, with what is the ghost army? What do you mean by that? Thank you, Nick.
John, thank you so much for inviting me on. The ghost army are the men without work in modern America. I'm focusing in particular on what are called the men of prime working age, not my term, 25 to 54 years old, the backbone of the economy still, the group that is absolutely indispensable in the forming of families and the raising of children as well. For over half a century, we have seen a collapse of work for this critical group, mainly due to an exit of men from the workforce altogether. And as we speak, John, over 7 million men between the ages of 25 and 54 are out of the workforce altogether, neither working nor looking for work. In the ancient classical days, if one talked about a Roman legion being decimated, that meant that they had lost a tenth of their membership. We now have lost over a tenth of our prime age men from the workforce. They're out of it altogether. They're not even unemployed because they're not looking for work. But they're in this netherworld, which I think we can talk of as a ghost army.
Yes, the ghost army. Now, it came from somewhere. And I learned from Nick that you can identify the decades that I've lived. Nick, this is perfectly for my life, born 1948. That's the beginning of the top of the pier, pinnacle for labor force participation rates. So let's do some glossaries. LFPR, I just said it, but what does it mean? Why do you use that as a way of measuring men without work?
It is jargon which stands for labor force participation rate. It is the proportion of people in any group, we're looking at men right now, but the proportion of people in any group who are either employed or looking for work.
And that is a way of measuring the cohorts as they come online. For example, you just said 10 million. You break it down further. This is a few years out of date, but not profoundly. 1.2 million between 20 and 25. 5.5 million between 25 and 54. And then everything else is over 54. So we're looking at groups that are consistent, period, segment after segment in decline for participating in the economy. When, I know we're going to get to 1965, when do you first see it in the numbers that men are declining in the workforce? Does it show up right after the Second War in the 50s and 60s? Where, Nick?
Excellent question. John, of course, our labor statistics were set up to fight the last war, to fight the Great Depression. Our current labor statistics were devised to go into a force in 1941-42. We had a little kind of interruption. I can't remember what it was, so it was postponed until the late 40s. But they were set up basically with the assumption, which is a Depression era assumption, that if a guy is out of work, he's going to be looking for a job. And they didn't pay much attention to the people who were labor force dropouts. And that was a pretty good assumption for the first two post-war decades, because American men were not only almost fully employed, they were virtually fully engaged in looking for work or being part of the workforce. It was only a tiny fraction, around 3%, little over 3%, of prime age men who were neither working nor looking for work during those two decades.
Now we come to 1965, and this is where the numbers become shocking. 1965, the labor force participation rate, that's what Nick identified for us, was 96.6, which is pretty good. I mean, that's everybody's working who's prime age. 3.4% were not in the labor force. But by 2015, 50 years later, we're at 88.2, and that's a profound change because we now have 11.8%, I'm following your reporting, Nick, not in the labor force. There's the mystery, right? Those 50 years, what happened? Strikingly, you also say it's a generational decline. How so, Nick?
Well, you can think of it kind of like rings on a tree, except they're rings that are shrinking in towards the center of the tree. Over a life course, guys tend to work, well, they start out not working at all, then they're working a lot, then at later ages, they start to work less and less, they go into retirement. Right after World War II, didn't matter whether you were in your 20s, 30s, 40s, early 50s, very, very, very high rates of involvement in the workforce. But then 10 years later, at every age group, for the group that was born 10 years later, at every age, people worked less. The group that's 10 years younger than that, their trajectory is still lower. 10 years after that, it seems to be on a track to be lower still. So over the life course, each younger brother is on a lower trajectory than the older brother. Each son is on a lower trajectory than the father, on average.
There's another term of art, NEET, N-E-E-T. What does that refer to? Why is that important here?
N-E-E-T, NEET, originally comes from across the ocean from the UK. It means neither employed nor in education and training. Some people, about a tenth, a little bit more than a tenth, of the guys who are neither working nor looking for work are actually full-time students, getting ready to go back into jobs at maybe higher pay and higher levels of qualification. That's not such a bad thing. What we're really concerned about are the people who are dropouts from the workforce who aren't training to get back into it. And that those are the NEETs.
You provide us a contrast with other dynamic economies, post-war, post-Second War economies. And you make a list of why these states are striking because they have so fewer of these men without work. We have a more robust economy. I took your list because it's positive here. We have a more robust economy, a more flexible, dynamic economy. We work more hours. You and I work all the time, Nick. We don't not work. This is the way we were trained. We have a rise, and we have a limited welfare state compared to our European allies and even Japan. And yet we have a rising proportion of non-working men. That's a complete quandary.
It really looks like a mystery, doesn't it, John? Because we know that in every post-war democracy, industrial affluent democracy, there's been some decline in work rates and labor force participation rates by men. It's been some. But nowhere has it been as radical and harsh and severe and consistent as in the USA. It hasn't been this bad in Greece, which is kind of on life support a lot of the time in the economy. If you take a look across the border, to the north, there are no two rich countries that are as close to being twins as Canada and the U.S. But our decline in workforce participation for men is strikingly more severe than in Canada.
Who are they? When we come back, Men Without Work. Nicholas Eberstadt is a political economist at the American Enterprise Institute. He holds the Henry Wendt Chair at the American Enterprise Institute, and he's the author of 20 books and monographs, Men Without Work, Post-Pandemic Edition, the most recent. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.